welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. I know a mender of broken hearts and of lives that are all undone. He takes them all as they come to Him, and He loves them every one. With patience, love, and skill that surpasses the knowledge of men, this master potter gathers the lost and restores to His image again. O lover of folk with broken lives, O wonderful potter divine, I bring my soul for thy healing touch. In me, let thy beauty shine. With that bit of poetry, we begin our study of the New Testament and the life of Christ. Surely He is the mender of broken hearts and of lives that are all undone. If you qualify as one who has a broken heart or that's all undone, we recommend that you turn to Christ, repent of your sins, and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. The Gospels are the heart of the Bible, because they reveal the central person of all time, the Lord Jesus Christ. History is indeed His story. And in the Gospels we find His story written by the hand of God. The life of the Savior on earth covered a span of about 33 years. We read first of His virgin birth in a manger at Bethlehem, of His parents' flight into Egypt, and then of their return to Nazareth. When He was 12, we find Him at the Passover feast in Jerusalem. But from that time until He was 30, the story of His life is shrouded in silence. At 30, the Lord Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, then tempted by Satan in the wilderness for 40 days. Immediately after this, He entered upon what is known as His public ministry, a ministry that for convenience can be divided into three parts. First in Judea for about a year, then in Galilee for around a year and 9 months, and finally in Perea for about 4 or 5 months. The Lord Jesus Christ's ministry was characterized by certain features. First, He performed many miracles in order to vindicate His claim to be the Son of God and the King of Israel. Second, He taught the people great truths concerning the kingdom of God, how it is entered, how its subjects are expected to behave. And in doing so, He used parables, illustrations, and Old Testament quotations. Third, He called, trained, and sent forth 12 disciples to proclaim the gospel to the Jews. As His message met increasing opposition and hatred from His own people, He widened His ministry to the Gentiles, proclaiming Himself to be the Savior of all who would receive Him by faith. Several times He predicted His own death and resurrection and prophesied terrible suffering for the nation of Israel that was about to reject Him. At the end of His Perean ministry, He made His triumphal entry into Jerusalem and was widely acclaimed by the people. However, the religious leaders were plotting against Him and bargained with Judas to betray Him. When the Lord Jesus returned to Jerusalem, it was to keep the Passover with His disciples, and also to institute the Lord's Supper as a lasting remembrance of Him in His death. Then following in quick succession His agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, His betrayal, the Jewish trial at which Peter vigorously denied His Lord, and the Roman trials before both Pilate and Herod. Although the Son of Man was obviously innocent, having been accused by false witnesses, yet Pilate bowed to the desires of the people and delivered Him to be crucified. Hanging on a cross between two thieves, the Savior died in agony and blood. In one sense, He was killed by the hands of wicked men, but in another sense, He went to the cross willingly in order to bear God's judgment on sin, so that sinners believing on Him might be saved. His body was buried in the new tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And on the third day he rose from among the dead. Thereafter, he made frequent appearances to his disciples and to other believers until 40 days later when he ascended up into heaven to be exalted at the right hand of God the Father, a prince and a savior. Let's pause just now in our short program for some music. I'd like to ask you some questions. How well do you know this mender of broken hearts, the Lord Jesus? Is he just a man in history? Or is he your Savior? These are important questions, for your decision determines your destiny. Listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. We're studying together the Emmaus Bible School Correspondence Course, Summary of the Bible, and we're on Lesson 9 and page 2 of that lesson. Some of you have this study course with you there at home. Others of you possibly would like to have it. Stay tuned for our address at the close of the program. This is just one of the many courses on the Bible available from Emmaus. You might be interested to know that these courses are being used around the world in many centers. This means, of course, that they are being translated into many other languages. Now let's continue our look at the Gospels. Not all the things that Jesus did are written in the Gospels. In fact, if his complete life story were written, the world itself could not contain the books. We read that fact in the Gospel of John. Also notice this verse in John chapter 20 and verse 31. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 20 and the 31st verse. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And remember, when God gives life, he gives everlasting life. The Gospels are unique in all literature in that they present four separate accounts of a perfect, sinless man. Matthew introduces the Lord Jesus as the Son of David and King of the Jews. We see the Messiah in his birth and announced by John the Baptist, tested, manifested, and rejected. Because Matthew's first concern is in presenting Christ as King of the Jews, he traces his genealogy back to David and Abraham. Mark describes the Son of God as a servant, the one who came into the world to do his Father's will. No genealogy is given, inasmuch as the servant's work is of greater importance than his ancestry. Luke's object is to present the Lord Jesus as Son of Man. And thus the genealogy in chapter 3 goes back to Adam, the first man. In Luke's Gospel, we see the Lord as a man among men, serving, seeking, and saving them. And then the fourth one, John's Gospel, is very different from the others. Here Christ is set forth as the Son of God. No genealogy is given. Instead, he is described as the Word, who was in the beginning the eternal God. Another important difference is that John alone describes the Judean ministry of the Savior. The other writers deal with his Galilean and Purian ministries. Because we have these four distinct accounts of the Lord, it is possible for us to know him in a more complete way than his disciples knew him when he was on earth. We turn now to the Acts of the Apostles. This book is a brief history of the formation of the early growth of the Christian church. Some have called it the Acts of the Holy Spirit because he is the guiding person throughout. And in a sense, it is also the Acts of two apostles, Peter and Paul. Peter's ministry is prominent in the first 12 chapters. It begins on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended and the church was born. Peter's preaching emphasized the resurrection and the lordship of Christ. The church thus began at Jerusalem and was largely made up of Jewish converts. Then persecution set in and increased in intensity until finally Stephen was arrested and stoned to death, the first martyr of the church. Now believers scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, preaching the gospel wherever they went. Against his own personal desires, Peter was instructed to carry the good news to the Gentiles. As the Jewish nation continued to reject the message, the church's membership became increasingly Gentile. From Acts 13 and verse 4 to the end of the book, the principal person is Paul. Saved while on the way to persecute Christians in Damascus, Paul undertook his mission then as apostle to the Gentiles. His ministry may be divided into three main missionary journeys and then a trip to Rome as prisoner. By the way, there are four maps in the lesson materials that show these travels of Paul. The first missionary journey began at Antioch in Syria. Paul carried the message of Christ to Cyprus and several cities in Asia Minor. On the second missionary journey, Paul visited Asia Minor, Macedonia, and Greece, finally returning to Antioch by way of Ephesus and Caesarea. The third missionary journey took Paul through Asia Minor, Macedonia, Greece, and then back along the western and southern coasts of Asia Minor to Jerusalem. Paul's last sea journey was as a prisoner. He was falsely accused in Jerusalem of profaning the temple. He appealed to Caesar and was sent to Rome for trial. In Rome, he wrote what we refer to as the prison epistles. The book of Acts ends at this point in history. Surely there's much more that we could say about these books, but we urge you to find out for yourself by reading and studying them. As you know, we're doing a survey of the Bible. We're studying the Emmaus Correspondence course titled Summary of the Bible. For more information on obtaining this course, write to our address, which will be given in just a few moments. This is the Emmaus Bible Hour.